September 17th, 2004. Dear friends and colleagues, upon thoughtful consideration and with deep sorrow, I have decided to step down from my teaching, research, and traveling responsibilities at Harvard. In January of this year, I was diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's disease. While I am likely still in the early to moderate stages of the disease, I've been experiencing unpredictable cognitive lapses that make it impossible for me to meet the demands of this position with the highest of standards that I've always held myself to and that are expected here. While you'll no longer see me at the podium in the lecture auditoriums or busy writing new grant proposals, I will remain on as Dan Maloney's thesis advisor, and I'll still attend meetings and seminars, where it is my hope to continue to serve as an active and welcome participant. With greatest affection and respect, Alice Howland. The first week of fall semester, Marty took over Alice's teaching responsibilities. When she met with him to hand over the syllabus and lecture materials, he hugged her and said how very sorry he was. He asked her how she was feeling and if there was anything he could do. She thanked him and told him she was feeling fine. And as soon as he had everything he needed for the course, he left her office as fast as he could. Pretty much the same drill followed with everyone in the department. "I'm so sorry, Alice. I just can't believe it. I had no idea. Is there anything I can do? Are you sure? You don't look any different. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Then they left her alone as quickly as possible. They were politely kind to her when they ran into her, but they didn't run into her very often. This was largely because of their busy schedules and Alice's now rather empty one. But a not-so-insignificant reason was because they chose not to. Facing her meant facing her mental frailty and the unavoidable thought that, in the blink of an eye, it could happen to them. Facing her was scary. So for the most part, except for meetings and seminars, they didn't. Today was the first psychology lunch seminar of the semester. Leslie, one of Eric's graduate students, stood poised and ready at the head of the conference table with the title slide already projected onto the screen. Searching for answers, how attention affects the ability to identify what we see. Alice felt poised and ready as well, sitting in the first seat at the table across from Eric. She began eating her lunch, an eggplant calzone and a garden salad, while Eric and Leslie talked, and the room filled in. After a few minutes, Alice noticed that every seat at the table was occupied except for the one next to her, and people had begun taking up standing positions at the back of the room. Seats at the table were highly coveted, not only because the location made it easier to see the presentation, but because sitting eliminated the awkward juggling of plate, utensils, drink, pen, and notebook. Apparently, that juggling was less awkward than sitting next to her. She looked at everyone not looking at her. About 50 people crowded into the room, people she'd known for many years, people she'd thought of as family. Dan rushed in, his hair disheveled, his shirt untucked, wearing glasses instead of contact lenses. He paused for a moment, then went straight for the open seat next to Alice and declared it his by plopping his notebook down on the table. "I was up all night writing. Gotta get some food. Be right back." Leslie's talk ran the full hour. It took an excessive amount of energy, but Alice followed her to the end. After Leslie advanced past the last slide and the screen went blank, she opened up the floor to discussion. Alice went first. "Yes, Dr. Howland," said Leslie. "I think you're missing a control group that measures the actual distractibility of your distractors. You could argue that some, for whatever reason, simply aren't noticed, and their mere presence isn't distracting. You could test the ability of the subjects to simultaneously notice and attend to the distractor, or you could run a series where you swap out the distractor for the target." Many at the table nodded. Dan aha'd through a mouthful of calzone. Leslie grabbed her pen even before Alice finished her thought and took vigorous notes. "Yes, Leslie, go back to the experimental design slide for a moment," said Eric. Alice looked around the room. Everyone's eyes were glued to the screen. They listened intently as Eric elaborated on Alice's comment. Many continued nodding. She felt victorious and a little smug. The fact that she had Alzheimer's didn't mean that she was no longer capable of thinking analytically. The fact that she had Alzheimer's didn't mean that she didn't deserve to sit in that room among them. The fact that she had Alzheimer's didn't mean that she no longer deserved to be heard. The questions and answers and follow-up questions and answers continued for several minutes. Alice finished her calzone and her salad. Dan got up and came back with seconds. Leslie stumbled through an answer to an antagonistic question asked by Marty's new postdoc. Her experimental design slide was projected on the screen. Alice read it and raised her hand. "Yes, Dr. Howland," asked Leslie. "I think you're missing a control group that measures the actual effectiveness of your distractors. It's possible that some of them simply aren't noticed. You could test their distractibility simultaneously, or you might swap out the distractor for the target." It was a valid point. It was, in fact, the proper way to do the experiment, and her paper wouldn't be publishable without that possibility satisfied. Alice was sure of it, yet no one else seemed to see it. She looked at everyone not looking at her. Their body language suggested embarrassment and dread. She reread the data on the screen. That experiment needed an additional control. The fact that she had Alzheimer's didn't mean that she couldn't think analytically. The fact that she had Alzheimer's didn't mean that she didn't know what she was talking about. Okay, thanks, said Leslie. But she didn't take any notes, and she didn't look Alice in the eye, and she didn't seem at all grateful.